All right, good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to get started here. We're going to begin by standing and singing number 236 in the red hymnals in front of the in the chair in front of you. Ellen had requested that we sing a handful of her favorite songs, so we're going to begin this afternoon with Amazing Grace, number 236. We'll sing all four stanzas. 236. If you want to stand, that'd be fine. If you feel more comfortable sitting, that's fine as well. Prayer here this morning or this afternoon. Father, we're before you here, Father, you know all that's going on in our midst here today, not only in the hearts of these ladies and gentlemen, but as well, Father, you realize, I know that somebody that's a friend to us and for many very precious has been removed from our midst. We have very distinct hopes and promises found in the Word of God. For these things, we pray today, Lord, you'd help us to put these memories in proper place. Lord, we are fully confident that Ellen's with you today. We are glad to be here. We're glad for the victories that she had in her life. We don't always live in the utmost of victory, Father, but anyone that dies a Christian wins a victory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Thank you for being here. Obviously, we're here upon the passing of Ellen Rondo. Ellen has been a member of our church here at Blessed Hope for several years, since around the time that she adopted Nick and Eric. Of course, some of her former folks you went to church with formerly are here as well. We're glad that you guys are here. Ellen was born August 12th, 1938 in Minneapolis. She passed away on March 28th, 2012, up at Grace Point in Cambridge. And we had seen, of course, as she wrestled with cancer since November, we saw her travails and so on and prayed for her continually. Again, she asked us to stand and sing several songs. We're going to sing three of Ellen's favorites here today. I'm going to ask you, if you would, we're going to, after the singing, start some testimonies here of folks, both family and friends, that have some memories to tell about Ellen. And we won't be terribly long here today. We will have a meal after. There's some food back there. So we hope that you'll plan to stay around for a little while. Let's stand one more time and sing number 264. Again, these were songs that Ellen requested that we sing today. 264. again, all the family and friends that are gathered here today, we'd like to give opportunity for several of you to speak. First of all, we'll have Dal, I suppose, come and start with the rest of the sons that might like to come. And if some of you want to be thinking about his friends and former church members and so on, some things you'd like to say, please feel free to do so. Dal, if you want to come now.
I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for coming. And I did not prepare a speech, so it's coming from my heart. I just want everyone to remember all the good times that we've had with Ellen, my mom, and know that she's resting in peace now with the Lord. She has that eternal life that we all are looking forward to. And I just remember all the good things that she's instilled in my heart and my mind. All the happy times that we had together. And that's what's on my heart right now, so I want to thank everybody again. I just want everybody to be happy. I don't want everybody to be sad. I want everybody to celebrate their life, the life that she's had, the time that we've had with her. With that, I just thank God that she's home now. Mm-hmm. Suffering. Thank you.
Really happy that Eric could make it back from Pensacola. Eric, if you want to come up real quick. By the way, I didn't get a chance to talk to all the family, so if there's any other family members that would like to get up and say something, please feel free to let me know. Eric, go ahead.
All right. Like my brother Dell said, we appreciate everyone coming out today and, this memorial service for our mom. I didn't really prepare anything either, but I just want to, praise the Lord for, providing a mom for me and my brother.
Yeah.
And she most certainly was the biggest blessing that happened for me. She taught me a lot, and it wasn't always easy, but she didn't give up in me or my brother. So when everyone else I know it's supposed to be I don't want this to be a sad moment or anything, but because she is with the Lord and she is in a better place, and it's a blessing to know that, and praise the Lord that She's up there with him, and she's better off than we all are right now. So, she did a lot, and she's helped me a ton in many ways, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate this church and everything that you guys have done for us is for our family. And I know she appreciated this church and all that you guys have done for us, and being a good influence on me and my brother. And thank you all.
Nick, did you want to come up?
I was the second shortest one in the family. My mom was always short. We always made fun of her because of it. It's kind of funny. So, my greatest memory was, like, especially when it was just me and my mom, we decided to, out of nowhere, just decided to just go take a drive to New Mexico and just chill. Kind of fun. Like Eric said, thank you all for being here. No one could ask for a better mom. Me and Eric would have ended up in a bad place if we didn't find her. I didn't write any of this down, so on the fly. What can I say about my mom? She was always a happy and cheerful person. She just loved to smile and just have fun. She could be a firecracker sometimes. I know that for a fact. I never noticed how I say, but she tried teaching me a lot of stuff, which I've taken most of it in, and I'm glad for it, because I'm trying to learn by her mistakes that she made, and she's trying to install that in me not to do that. And she did a pretty good job for me and Eric and Dal and Jay. It's a really good family, and I'm glad that I'm part of it. Thank you.
Let me ask, is there any other family members that would like to say something? Jay, come on up.
Sure.
I don't think we've ever had a chance to meet, actually.
I'm Jay.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jay. I'm Ellen's eldest son. She taught me a lot over the years, tolerance being one of them. I'm in the healthcare field, and I currently do one-to-one with a quadriplegic. And tolerance plays a big part in my job and every other job that I've had. Mom and I had fun over the years. We were together alone for the first 5 years of my life. We took a 1964 or 65 Volkswagen out to California. Unfortunately, she didn't check the oil when she got out and consequently burnt up the motor. Mother took that all in stride. She went to work right away. We had fun. We came back to Minnesota. I came back to Minnesota first, and then she came back later. And shortly thereafter, my brother was born. And my sister followed the year after. I miss my mother very much. I cry when I think of her. And I remember all of the positive things that she would instill in me, saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. That's not nice. And you know, being a young kid, you know, I would say, okay, Mom, I won't do that. And she guided me through my teenage years. She guided all of us kids. There was three of us kids at the time, and we were all hard to handle sometimes. We all have different ways of dealing with things, and we bonded together, and that helped the growing years. I thank you all for coming. It's a beautiful sunny day, and this is the kind of day that Mom loves. And I am taking my mother to Lake Superior and the Boundary Waters. And I'm taking her deep in the woods, and I'm going to spread part of her ashes up there, and to make her closer to nature, the things that she loved, and the peace and the quiet and the smell of pine needles. She loved the smell of pine needles. And but anyways, I'm saying everything right off the top of my heart. And I miss her. I love her. I love my brother. And I love my sister. Unfortunately, she can't be with us. But anyways, I love her anyways. And I thank you all very much. And God bless us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. It was a very informal service. I was hoping we could get some of you to come up and share a few things about Ellen. I know there are some folks here from her former church, and I think I got a promise that some of you guys are going to come say something, so feel free to come if you would. Make it a little less daunting to get on the platform.
Good afternoon. I'm Arlene White Rabbit Helgemol, pastor at All Nations Indian Church in South Minneapolis. I was trying to remember the first time that Ellen came through our doors. It was sometime in the early 90s. And she had quite a life with us over there. Yes, she always did have that big smile with those sparkly eyes. And you couldn't help but get taken in by that when you come into her presence. And when she came to us, you know, we always try to seek out gifts that people might have that they can share in our congregation. And one of the first things that Ellen shared with us was her gift of voice. She loved to sing. And I think probably maybe earlier years, she probably even aspired to be a rock star. I know she sang in the Minneapolis Women's Choir for a short period of time, and eventually connected up with the director of that choir in more recent years when we were doing some things in South Minneapolis for a service of Thanksgiving, which included about 7 or 8 congregations. Ellen had a chance to connect up with that former director of that choir. And I thought, boy, that must have been a fun time for them, because they would just get in a little corner and huddle before practice, and they would remember something, and they'd be giggling away about this, that, or the other thing. One of the things that kind of was a happy shock to hear about Ellen in those early years as they were unfolding and she was getting more involved in our ministry is that she used to be a bus driver for MCT. Can you imagine her tooling around the streets of Minneapolis with those great, big, huge buses, and she'd be just driving them all over. So no wonder she liked road trips. She liked getting on the road. She liked getting out and driving around. But it still makes me chuckle when I think of her about what it must have been like to get on the bus and have her be the bus driver. As the months went on, we realized that one of the gifts that Ellen had is she really loved young people. Because when she first started to come to All Nations, she always had young women with her, maybe 12, 13, 14-year-olds. And as we got to know her, we realized that she was a foster caregiver. And she took a lot of the young women that nobody else wanted. And in order to keep them out of the institutions, Ellen would say, no, they can come to my house. And she was very organized. That's one of the things I remember about Ellen. She was very organized. And when I gave her full reign over at All Nations to say, get me organized, boy, she threw away stuff and she organized things and everything had their place. And then she might come back 6 months later and she would notice if something was out of place. She would notice that. And I remember the compassion. She was a woman of great compassion. She was really concerned about these young women that were in her care. And she always strove to find the best kind of help that they could receive. And I thought, now this is really a remarkable woman, because it wasn't just providing a space for them to stay at night, a safe place for them to stay at night, and to provide food for them. Because, you know, Ellen was an excellent cook, right? You know? And she would always cook up some really tasty things for them. And but I really appreciated her compassion and passion for these young women, because they said, she would say, you know, they all have some challenges, but when we walk together with them, you know, they can go through this. And I know occasionally one or two of those women have come back as young women into our church. And they'll say, do you remember me? I used to be one of Ellen's girls. And you know, and I just thought that was always so neat, because something that she instilled in them gave them a chance to be able to continue a faith journey of some sort. She was a woman of great spirit. You know, she would come to church every Sunday, and it was a long drive for her to come down to All Nations. I haven't figured the mileage, but it's got to be at least 40 miles, I think. Does that sound about right? You know, so when she would come on Sundays, she was coming probably the longest distance of any member that we had. I took a couple notes here because I wanted to make sure that I would not forget some really fun things that she did with us. With Ellen's compassion for young people, there was an opportunity for her to come over to All Nations on Saturday and lead our children's lodge. And that was a program for young Indian kids that would come in, and they'd be anywhere between 6 years old to 10, 12 years old. And she would have a fantastic event for them every Saturday morning. And it involved food. You know, they could get a brunch or a lunch. It involved doing some incredible, wonderful, beautiful crafts. And then she would have teachings for them. So she would partner with one of our elders who we also lost last year, Garrett Wilson. And they would share wisdom from American Indian values and thoughts and things like that. And these kids would just love to come to Children's Lodge. And when Ellen took it over, there was just a lot of fun activities for those young people. They would say, I got to go there on Saturday because it's going to be fun because Ellen is there. And so for a period of time when Ellen was doing that Children's Lodge, she was coming down there every Saturday and every Sunday, those 40 miles, 80 miles round trip, if you can imagine. We appreciated her time with us. We're very sad about her leaving us. I knew that things were slowing down for her because she always set up at our Native Art Fair in December. And she wrote me a little note, and she said, Marlene, I'm not going to be able to be there for the Native Art Show this year. It's just too much right now. And so I think a lot of people missed her beautiful artwork. She had just the most tremendous, beautiful paintings, and she painted on rocks, and I'm hoping maybe some of our members might be willing to share a little bit about that too. But she really knew how to grace this world with color, with laughter, with joy. And we know that she has walked on now. But we also know that the promises that lie before us is that there is a place for each one of us in Jesus' kingdom. And even though we are sad, Ellen has walked on to one of those beautiful rooms that Jesus has set aside for us. And for that, we can say amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Come. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Paul. See, I know Alan probably at least about me 8 years, and I'd say she's been a really good friend of mine, and she's been like family. I met her through Pastor Marlene's church, and I feel good to know that, you know, she's gone to a better place. It was sad to see that she left, but, you know, I'm not worried. I know that she's gone to a better resting spot, but I just want to say thanks for having me here. It's a blessing to see everybody here, and it's good news to see that she's, you know, gone home now. So I'm happy that, you know, she's got to finally get a good rest and go to the right place. And just the time that I got to spend with her was really educational, and I feel blessed that I got to meet her. And I'd say there was times that I felt bad, and I was really looking at people like, what are you looking at me for? And then I looked at Ellen across the room at church, and she just was always all smiles. So kind of touching, but anyways, she loves my son. And that's good too. Anyways, sorry, but yeah, good to see you guys. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing there. Ellen, you know, other than the firecracker part, Ellen was just a sweet, sweet woman. And she was at my wedding, which was October 22nd. And, you know, the couple girls wanted me to throw my bouquet, but I had made it, and I wanted to keep it for my keepsake. And you know what happens when girls catch bouquets, right? So anyway, I just grabbed a flower and threw it over, and they each caught one, and that was so fun. But, you know, I was fortunate to get one of Ellen's paintings, purchase one, and Michael and I, we just loved it. And even every time we would look at it, during different times of the day, it would always look different. I'm not kidding you. You could look at it, the rocks would be different color, the sunset in the back. Every day we would just like, Mike, look at the picture, because it would always look so different. And, you know, I'm just so glad that I have that picture. Even my mom visited, and I was telling her about the picture, and then mom's like, yeah, look, there's the rainbows through there. And, you know, and then just shortly after that, Ellen passed away. And you know, I just know that she's happy, joyous, and free right now. And you know, I'm just glad I was able to be here to honor Ellen.
Is there anyone else? Yes, sir, please feel free.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, Ellen was a beautiful, beautiful soul. And you could tell, and she still is. And I think that's kind of what I would like to say. For the family, my fullest heart goes out to you guys. My own mother died from cancer about 15 years ago. And I want to share a very quick story with you guys, because this actually happened. Okay, my mother passed. It was on Christmas Day in a little small town in Ireland, which is where she was born, born and raised. And my brothers and I went there. And after she passed, and as God is my witness, this actually happened. And it's still just, this happened, which is more real than this room is right now. After my mother passed, I went up to the room. I was by myself. I walked into the room. The sense of peace I felt was absolutely stunningly incredible, just stunningly incredible. And then as I was sitting there by myself, and in the Irish tradition, you cover the mirrors when somebody's passed. There's all sorts of, you know, cultural and spiritual and religious reasons for that. But the windows were all covered, and I sat there talking to my mother for a few moments, just, you know, crying and just kind of very gently talking with her. And all of a sudden, a light entered their room. And it is the most stunningly brightest, most beautiful light they've ever felt. I didn't see it. I felt this light. It filled up the entire room. And at that moment, my mother gave me a piece of the absolute complete joy. This is on Christmas Day, mind you. And she gave me a piece of the most complete, absolute, beautiful joy and sense of happiness that she was feeling at that moment. She stuck it in my heart, and then she was gone. And from that, I've come to realize something. Us petty little humans and our continued, you know, religious and theological discussions and distractions are irrelevant in the eyes of the Creator. The Creator loves us, and we know that. My heart goes out to you guys. Thank you.
This is an associate pastor here at Blessed Hope. Knew the Rondos very, very well. So,
I needed a place to put all my notes. So, it's really not as bad as it seems. First, I'd like to give our heartfelt condolences to the family. Your mom was a blessing. Very, very much of a blessing to us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, you know, you guys had the joy of having much more time with her than we did. That was a good thing. But I'd just like to read a short passage of Scripture from Luke 10. In Luke 10, the Bible says this. It says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." "And he went into him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set on him his own breast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise." Now we're here to remember Ellen today. She was a mother, a grandmother, a sister, a friend, and she was a compassionate soul. I remember early on, you know, having several conversations with her, and Eric, I know this. I know that when you turned 18, she didn't buy you a brand new car. And Nick, I know that when you were going through school and when you had your birthdays, you didn't get the latest, greatest styles and the fancy clothes and all the things that young men wish they could have as they were growing up. Because as far as the world is concerned, Ellen may not have had much as far as riches or position. She wasn't a senator. She wasn't a president. But what Ellen had compassion. As I said, I recall many conversations with her, and that was one of the things that always stuck out about her to me. And I don't know what you remember most about Ellen. I imagine that if we were to sit back and take a survey and make a list of all the things that the folks in this room could name and could list about Ellen, that list would be quite extensive. And I've learned today that Firecracker was on the list. And I'm sure there may even be a few other things on the list that maybe you struggle with about Ellen. But I just wanted to say here, and then I'll turn this over to Brother Stevens, that as we leave here, a lot of those things really don't matter. A lot of those things really don't matter. I read this passage of Scripture, and there were some uppity people that walked by this poor injured soul lying on the side of the road, beaten and bruised, and no one took the time to care. And along came a Samaritan. And that Samaritan just stepped down, lended a helping hand, and did what he could do under the circumstances. You know, that reminds me of Ellen. I'm sure she was that way with you guys growing up, the older siblings. And from our experience, we know, listen, that is exactly what she did with Eric and Nick. She saw you guys, and the compassion had her reach down and lift you guys up by the hand and give you a place to call home and a family. And all the other things, the firecracker, we laugh at. Some of the other things we joke about. But as you remember here today, remember who she was and what she was all about. And that side of her. And I'd just like to say it was a blessing to know your mom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. It was a blessing to know Ellen. Several people have asked, what can I say about Ellen? I would say that Ellen was a character. Firecracker describes it pretty well, but Ellen was a character. And we enjoyed very much having her for the years that we had her. And, of course, she moved here, I think. Actually, she'd lived up here a little while. But she moved church membership here about the time she adopted Nick and Eric. And since that time, they've been intimately involved in our church. We appreciate that very much. Ellen was always the flower arrangement out in front of the pillars in church. That was Ellen's thing. And nobody had to tell Ellen to do it. She did it on her own. She volunteered for it. In fact, as I recall, she just said she was going to take it over. So I wasn't about to say a word. And but Ellen had fought a noble fight here since November. It's always hard to watch someone fight that battle. Both my mom and dad died of cancer some years ago. So I'd seen it before. And I know that she was... When she lost her ability to speak, I know that it bothered her an awful lot. And I still think that I could see resignation in her eyes in some regard early on. I think she knew that the doctors weren't giving her much hope to come out of this. And I'm not sure for certain that that's what I was reading in her eyes, but I think so. And I'm comforted that several of the last talks we had with her up while she was at Grace Point in Cambridge, she seemed to have come to a point where she accepted it, and I'm confident that she knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk to you for a little while about that here. This afternoon, I'm going to read you portions of a couple of passages. These will not be unfamiliar to you in any way, shape, or form. Let me read you, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me get started. Oh, in verse 54. So then... This corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Also this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Those two verses are two of the very most oft used and most common verses, I suppose, that anybody quotes at a funeral or a memorial service like this. And the reason why is, of course, we look to the Bible, which is the source of our faith, to have it tell us what the Lord says about death, as that is ultimately the thing that we ultimately have to defeat. On another line, you know, you've heard several things somebody said here today. We also come to funerals, memorial services, and here, time-worn, we could call them cliches, but they're sentiments that somebody tries to express. We have heard today that Ellen is in a better place, and she is. We have heard today that her suffering's over, that her battle's been fought, that she is with the Lord, that we're not mourning for her, we're mourning for ourselves, right? The reason those things are said, the reason you hear those things said in various places across all faiths just about, is because, first of all, a lot of us truly, really, deeply believe that's true. Now, it's also possible to say those things because sometimes you fall back on what you've heard before and you're not quite sure what to say in a situation like this. And I understand. Sometimes we say those things because that's what we're supposed to believe. Sometimes we say those things because, we sure do hope it's true, right? Bottom line is those are platitudes, those are sentiments, expressing religious faith, expressing conclusions that somebody's come to out of the Bible. If we're not careful, those things become just that, platitudes, just sentiments. We've heard, again, today, Ellen is in a better place. She has fought her last battle. She's not sorrowing now. Her burdens are lifted. And I imagine that's been said for hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people through the years. I'd like to talk to you for a little while in light of the fact that we use many times at memorial services, funerals, very familiar verses that give us hope and bring light to the darkness. We mention sentiments with our mouths, and I hope more than just our mouths, about someone being with the Lord now. There's a new angel in heaven, that sort of thing. I want to talk to you for just a few moments here, if I could, about where cliches meet reality. On March 28th, 2012, if you ever take 10 minutes from 12:30 p.m., Ellen marched up to a place that she had never been before. She embarked on a journey, I suppose you could say, that she had never been on before. Many have gone before her, but she had never been there before. Some folks call this, depending on who you ask, a crossing over. Some folks would say it's the next step. It's been described as walking up to the mortal veil and crossing over. Now, the thing about those moments, and of course, Ellen learned back in November that she had a brain tumor and had the tumor removed, that removed for, in large part anyway, as far as any lengthy conversation, her capacity to be able to communicate with us. And while we were able to get yeses and nos out of her later on, for a while there, she was robbed of that ability. The last couple of times I saw her, she was not able to communicate much. But, you know, Ellen walked up to that veil that day, and that veil is a place we all wind up going. That veil is a place where all the Bible verses, all the Bible promises, all the religious sentiments, all the spiritual beliefs and faith that you have, that's where you'll find out if you were right or not. That's where you find out where, when you walk up to that place, whether your cliches, the things that some people say as platitudes, if it's the real thing or not, it's where your sentiments meet reality. I'd like to say a few things along that line. You know, here we stand today. We're left here aching for a friend that's gone on. We have memories of her and joyous memories at that. And we miss her. We are left here holding on to faith. We're left here with Bible promises that God gave us through His Son that there's a place for us if we've received that Son. Correct? And we're left here, though, still walking by faith and not by sight. I would like to say, first of all, with regard to this, these things that we talk about, these cliches, these religious sentiments, oh, her battle's over, she's cried her last tear, she's with the Lord now, those things are not just sentiments to Ellen today. They are realities today. Ellen today lives where we all, by the grace of God, will go and hope to go. Correct? These hopes, this faith, these cliches are reality to Ellen Rondo right now. She is there. She is living them. Listen, Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." Right? I read in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I didn't read you I'm going to return to a passage I read to you in part, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read this to you for a moment. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I tell you, I firmly, wholly, completely am confident and believe that Ellen Rondo today is in the very presence of God Himself. I believe that when she stepped out of this body back on March 28th, however many days it's been since then, she's been there every day in the fullness of joy beyond your wildest imagination. Let me read a few more verses here from that passage. It says in chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," Ellen was certainly afflicted in going out of this life, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." I am glad to say today that Ellen is no longer burdened. I am sure that all of you can attest to the fact that Ellen bore many burdens in her lifetime. I know that Ellen had hours as a young woman that were a rougher life than most of us would care to remember. I'm sure that she bore some scars. I'm glad to say today it is a reality that Ellen is not burdened. It says here, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Now maybe this is not too romantic sounding, but I'm glad to be able to say today, Ellen's been swallowed up. Her mortality has been swallowed up of life. Folks, those are wonderful things. We've all at one point or another heard about and thought about eternal life. Ellen stepped across that veil, and at this moment, at this hour, truly partakes in eternal life. These things that can become cliches and platitudes and just mere religious sentiments that come to us because we're supposed to believe those things are very real to her. She's there. It's real. I have another confidence in this matter. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that "eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of the sons of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." I tell you what else I'm confident of. I'm confident that what Ellen lives and enjoys right now is beyond anything she could have ever imagined. We've heard about her imagination, her talents. I promise you, no matter how talented you are, no matter how gifted you are, the Bible has a promise that you will never in your wildest imagination be able to imagine, be able to grasp the glory that is a reality that Ellen lives today. I'm sad that I lost a friend. These boys are sad they've lost a mom. But then again, she's not really lost. And the fact of the matter is, it is a fulfillment. It is a graduation. She has been up to a place now that none of us have ever been. And she is in a place that by the grace of God, I am going. And I'm looking forward to it. I want to read one more thing along this line. I just want you to know these realities at this moment are very real to Ellen. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. And I promise you I'm not going to be long. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, Ellen had never seen Jesus Christ, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe that if Ellen could express to you today her joy, she wouldn't be able to express it. It is joy unspeakable. She is there. These things are real. I'm talking to you about where cliches meet reality. And while I've spoken to you now about, first of all, Ellen, the fact that these things are realities to her, I'd like to say, secondly, that there are realities that are certain to all. Very briefly, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. We all of us, no matter what our religious faith or religious beliefs, we all have hopes and beliefs and opinions about life and death. Some of us have been Christians, Bible students for a long time, and we believe the Bible holds the answers for that. And my beliefs and opinions about that come from the Bible. I know there are others who perhaps their opinion comes from experience or from some other visionary or mystic somewhere or whatever. All I really have to say about that is this. There is one thing that's absolutely certain. No matter what you actually believe, there is a day that you too will approach that jumping off point, that mortal veil. And in that day, what you believe will be tested by reality. And that's really the point. I mean, sometimes we come to a place like this, our hearts are broken, we shed tears because we miss somebody, and it's hard to know exactly what to say. And sometimes it's possible to say things that are right without really feeling them in our hearts. It's easy to say, well, Ellen's with the Lord now, without really fully comprehending what all that means. It's easy to say, well, her last battle is fought, her last tear is shed now, and she's in a better place now. Well, most people altogether hope that's true. I just want you to know that what you firmly believe will one day be very much tested by reality. I'd like you to think just a moment and contemplate that there is an hour coming that you too will approach that veil. You too will embark unto a place you've never been before. And in that day, the religious sentiments, the spiritual sentiments, maybe even that you hold, will be tested by reality. I do know this. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 once again. I read this. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, He that hath wrought us for this self-same thing is God. Most folks in this room at one juncture or another in your lifetime have wondered what the will of God was for you, I hope. I'll tell you the baseline. Do you know why God made you? He didn't make you to be a musician. He didn't make you to be an artist. He didn't make you primarily to be a preacher like me. He made you that one day your mortality might be swallowed up of life. He made you so that you could die and live forever. That's why He made you. You need to make sure you're on the right ground. I'd like to say this furthermore. I'd like to say that with regard to Ellen, these things being a reality to her, that there are certain realities that are real to all of us, and one day you too will embark on that journey from this life of mortality to the next, the stepping off point, and what is on the other side for you. I'd like to say finally and briefly that heaven's reality, and we believe Ellen's in heaven today, correct? I believe it with all my heart. Heaven's reality
is conditional. People don't. You know, we live in a country that at least was founded on Christianity enough that there are Christian sentiments that are expressed almost universally when someone dies. And we all think, we all would, I suppose, like to think that they all go to heaven and find their peace and their last tear is shed, their last battle is fought. I would like to say that heaven's reality is actually conditional. Listen, God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to die for our sins. The Bible says, surely He, Christ, hath borne our sins. He hath carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we're healed. The Bible says that Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. The Bible says that God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You might recall that even Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter, of all people, you have yet to be converted. When you're converted, then comfort your brethren. Simon Peter, as late as Luke 22, still had to be converted. Look, all I'm saying, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the door. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Christ said, you must be born again. Now look, you're here to mourn and grieve and perhaps celebrate, and it should be a celebration. The passing of a friend, a mom, a sister, a fellow church member, a brother or sister in Christ. Thank God for that. Ellen may not have always looked like Brother Grissom said. She may not have always looked like a complete success in this life. I promise you, she's a success in death because she was born again. She had several talks with me about that. In fact, just as late as last year, she came to me concerned because she said, you know, I know that baptism doesn't save you, but I've come to this church, I've learned so much in this church that I want to be baptized again in water just to make sure I got everything put in order. And so we baptized her again, and thank God for it. I want you to know, it wasn't that baptism that saved Ellen. I want you to know it was a Savior that saved Ellen. And I want you to know that no matter what else you think of Ellen's life beforehand, I know that if we went into the depths of things just like all of us, Ellen must have failed at something in her lifetime. I'm sure that's true. Maybe it was just relationships. I don't know what. I know this. Ellen is a victor in death because she had believed on the right Savior. And all I'm trying to say to you today is maybe we're all born-again Christians here. I hope it's true. But I want you to be serious about the fact that just like Ellen walked up to that place and embarked at about 12:30 on March 28th of this year, so will every one of us one day walk up to that place and embark on the final journey. Now listen, you've got to make sure you're on the right ground before you embark. Because just because you were born once does not mean that you go to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. Not just by the water birth of your mother's natural birth, but in a spiritual birth moderated by the Holy Spirit when you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And that is the message. That is the victorious message to be preached. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. My sheep hear my voice, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. And that victory is a free gift. And I just want to say that I am glad that one day, no matter how much pain or disease racks my body, Ellen's body was wrecked by disease and cancer and chemotherapy. She still left this life a victor in every way. And that is not just a platitude, a sentiment that I offer those of you that miss her, those of you that love her, okay? It's not just a platitude. It's a reality. It is very, very real. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, once again, we come here, and we hope we've been successful, perhaps, in helping folks say goodbye, and the modern term, I suppose, is to bring closure. Lord, there are folks in this room that miss Ellen Rondo every day. All the days that she's been sick, and now in the days that she's gone on to be with Thee, we've missed her in this church. We've missed the smile. We've missed the warm greetings. We've missed the things that she does. And Father, we are just comforted by the fact that we know she's with You. And there may be somebody here in this room this morning, this afternoon, that has not settled that matter. And Father, this is not just preaching. This is not just some ritual, a funeral arrangement. This is about establishing a relationship with One that loved us enough to die for our sins, rise from the dead a victor, and then give us that eternal victory in Christ. Pray, Father, You'd help these things, maybe to stir someone here that needs the message. Father, in the meantime, we pray that You would please bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look this way. We're going to grab a songbook one more time. And one last song Ellen dearly wanted us to sing was 253. I was personally unaware that this was a personal favorite of hers. But I look at it and I see all kinds of things, I suppose, in a young woman's life who had been through some things and came to a day when she needed a Savior and needed God. And I can't help but think that was Ellen one day, and this is one of her favorite songs. Number 253.
all so much for being here this afternoon. Of course, all the Blessed Hope folks, but also all the family and the friends of Ellen. We hope that you receive something here today that will help you put this in perspective. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to me. We are going to have some food. The family put together quite a feedback there, I think, so I hope that you can stick around for that. We're going to pray now for that. Please enjoy our building and fellowship and a nice day. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, once again, we're glad to be able to come here and go through these things and share some memories with some friends about Ellen. Father, I pray you'd bless now as we have a brother here that suffered loss with her, as well as sons. Eric will have to go back to Pensacola here in the next several days. Father, these guys need your comfort. They're saying goodbye to their mother. There are other folks that have been friends for a long time and have invested a lot of time and fellowship and friendship with Ellen. We miss her, Father. She has been gone from us now for several weeks, but we hope in saying goodbye here today in a more of a formal way, Lord, to help somebody. More than anything else, we also pray somebody came here still wandering from the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd help them to see that this new birth is not a hard thing. This is a relationship with God established through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, bless the food, the fellowship that follows. Appreciate all that's gone into this. We ask you to be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.